Repentance is good for you. Repentance is healthy. Repentance is liberating. Repentance is the best thing you can do for yourself, as well as the best thing you can do to improve your relationships with other people when those relationships go sour. And to all this, my brothers and sisters, we should say, thank God. Because the other noteworthy fact about repentance is, it's not optional. It's a requirement, it's a mandate, it's a command that comes from Jesus Christ himself. So the fact that it's beneficial on so many levels, other levels, is an added bonus. The importance of repentance should be obvious from the gospel passage we just heard. There Jesus says, this is the time of fulfillment, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. According to St. Mark, those are the very first words our Lord spoke during his earthly ministry. In a certain sense, I would say they form the foundation of everything else he taught during the next 3 years. And his message to his hearers was very clear and very direct. He said, in effect, this is what you've been waiting for. This is what the entire nation of Israel has been waiting for and anticipating for centuries. Old Testament prophecies are now being fulfilled, and God is beginning to establish his kingdom on earth among you. If you want to be part of it, you need to repent and believe. Repentance obviously improves your relationship with God, that's a given. But it also improves your relationship with other people. The simple statement, I'm sorry, when it's spoken from the heart, coupled with a desire to make amends for what you've done, can make a big difference in healing the rift between you and the people you've offended. On the other hand, failing to repent and say you're sorry when you've done something wrong can have a disastrous effect on a relationship. Reminds me of a little story that a parishioner emailed me a while back. A certain husband forgot his 25th wedding anniversary, which was definitely not a good idea. As you might imagine, his wife was quite upset, especially since she was expecting a brand new car as an anniversary gift. Her husband had promised her that several months earlier. She said to him, tomorrow there had better be something sitting in this driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 2 seconds flat. She obviously expected a pretty fast car. Anyway, the next day she woke up, ran into the driveway. She saw a small package sitting on the pavement. She immediately opened it up and she found her present. A brand new bathroom scale. The husband's funeral was the following Tuesday. Now that extremely foolish man would certainly still be among the living if he had simply said, I'm sorry. His wife might even have settled for a Hyundai instead of a Corvette. On a more serious note, the following is a letter that really does show how failing to repent can have a terrible set of consequences, psychological, emotional, and spiritual consequences in our lives. This letter was sent to me many years ago, along with a little prayer book, by a woman who used to be a parishioner of St. Pius. I saved the letter because I think it illustrates so well the importance of repentance. The letter reads as follows. Dear Father Ray, it is with deepest sorrow and regret that I have to write to you. I attended St. Pius Parish in the 1980s when you had just gotten there, at the time the church was struck by lightning when Father Bessie was pastor. At that time I made many visits to the church in addition to coming to Mass on Sunday. I am so ashamed to say that on one of my visits to pray, I was in the front pew on the right side of the altar, and I noticed a beautiful little prayer book. I don't know what I was thinking, but I stole it. I've had it for over 15 years. It's not just the fact that I took it, but that it belonged to someone who used it daily. Over the years, I have wanted to return it, just slip it back into the pew, and maybe the owner would somehow find it. Everywhere I have moved, it went with me, along with my own prayer cards. I started picking it up every once in a while to pray from it, but every time I tried, I couldn't. guilt about this book has lasted all this time. My greatest sadness is that the prayers from this book were not said for over 15 years, for someone's family, their church, their nation, the world. I don't know how to get it back to its owner. Perhaps showing the book at all masses might help. I only hope that the person who owns this book can forgive me. May God forgive me, a poor sinner, and have mercy on me. P.S. I hope and pray it doesn't belong to Monsignor Strzok or Sister Dorothy. They have both helped me and probably prayed for me from that book. Again, I am so very sorry. We can deny our sin, we can pretend it doesn't exist, we can sweep it under the rug, so to speak. But in spite of all these efforts, it will always affect us in negative ways. The woman who wrote that letter to me had been guilt-ridden and without peace for 15 years because of a sin she committed and then tried to ignore. But it didn't have to be that way. All she needed to do 15 years earlier was repent, go to confession, and then make a sincere effort to return the prayer book to its owner. It was that simple. And that note, it was fitting that today's first reading was taken from the book of the prophet Jonah. Verses we heard this morning were from the middle of the book. It's a very short book, only a couple of chapters. But these verses are from the middle. Here the Lord commands Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. And Jonah, as we heard a few moments ago, goes, which he did not do at the beginning of the book when God called him for the first time. In fact, after he received the call initially to go and preach repentance, Jonah got on the very first ship he could find, headed in the opposite direction, away from Nineveh. Why was that? It's because Jonah hated the Ninevites, that's why. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, which at the time was Israel's archenemy, much like Hamas is today. Jonah knew that the Lord was just, but he also knew that the Lord was forgiving and merciful. And Jonah had the sneaking suspicion that if he went to the Ninevites and told them to repent, and they actually did repent, God would not allow their city to be destroyed. But Jonah wanted the place to be destroyed. He wanted to see Nineveh go up in flames. He wanted to see it fry like Sodom and Gomorrah had all those years earlier. Fire and brimstone from heaven, all that stuff. So he ran away. Actually, he sailed away on a ship that was headed to Tarshish. God, in effect, said, "Not so fast, Jonah." He threw the ship into a terrible storm. Jonah was tossed overboard in the middle of it, got swallowed by a gigantic fish, which is sometimes referred to as a whale. After spending 3 days and three nights inside the whale's belly, God commanded the fish to spew Jonah up onto the shore, which is where today's first reading picks up the story. The Lord basically said to Jonah, "Okay, Jonah, let's try this one more time. Go to the people of Nineveh and tell them that unless they repent within 40 days, their entire city will be destroyed." Now, to his credit, Jonah learned his lesson. He learned it was probably not a good idea to defy God a second time. So as we heard a few moments ago, he went to Nineveh, albeit begrudgingly, and he delivered the message the Lord told him to deliver. And almost immediately, the whole place converted. The whole place repented. Which, of course, was precisely what Jonah did not want to happen. Now, at that point, Jonah had a choice to make. He could either choose to repent of his hatred, forgive his enemies, and find some peace, or he could persist in his hatred and unforgiveness and be miserable. Well, unfortunately, Jonah ended up choosing the latter. He whined, he pouted, he sulked. He told God he had a right to be angry. I don't know where he got that right from, but he said he did have it. It got so bad, he eventually prayed for death. Said, "Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. Please take my life." It's ironic, is it not? The Ninevites were the pagans, yet they repented and found peace. Jonah was a believer. He was an Israelite. He was one of God's chosen people, but he refused to repent. He consequently had no peace. I'll end my homily this morning as I began it. Repentance is good for you. Repentance is healthy. Repentance is liberating. Repentance is the best thing that you can do for yourself, as well as the best thing you can do to improve your relationships with other people when they go sour. And that's why the sacrament of confession is such a blessing to us as Catholics. When was the last time you went?